Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're the Merrifields, and we have been practicing polygamy now for 5 years.
Grab a box.
Yeah. Out to the garage, huh?
Yeah. I think polygamy is something different to everybody when you ask them.
Having sisters and best friends around, and it doesn't happen in a monogamous relationship.
But to begin with, we really did not have any idea that this is the lifestyle we would be living. God had plans for us.
Yeah, I think we just thought it was wrong and evil because that's how we were raised.
At first, yeah.
Yeah. But we searched the scriptures for years and finally came to a conclusion. We're like, we can't say it's wrong. It's a reflection of Jesus and his church, because a lot of the scriptures, the terms where it says he fills you with the Holy Ghost, it's actually a sexual term. It actually means like sperm going into like intimacy that way. And even scientifically, we've found that, when a man and a woman become one and his sperm goes in the woman, that his DNA becomes part of her. It actually goes into her brain and she becomes one with him. But yet the woman can't transfer her DNA back to the man. So it like showed the proof of how Christ is with his church. Like, he transfers to us, we don't transfer to him. For us, it's a beautiful thing when it's done right.
Welcome back to Seeking Sister Wife over here at Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. I, for 100% sure, did not think that this show was ever going to come back. And yet here it is. Here it is. Season 5. Looks like we made it. For whatever reason, TLC has decided to greenlight 5 seasons of the show. I have a cluster headache, and also I'm thrilled to welcome back Seeking Sister Wife. So if you guys don't know, and if you guys don't remember, because again, it's been quite the little hiatus that the show has been on. Something about these TLC shows, these like horny dating TLC shows that I recap, something happens in that I just feel like the cast don't, like, the names just don't resonate with me. you're saying, Carrie, you're telling me that these people's legal names that they go by don't resonate with you, every single one of them, to which I would say yes. And so they all, for some reason on this show, get nicknames. So I'm going to walk you through them. We have some returning, two returning families, a couple of new ones. I don't think we've even seen all the cast so far. They usually break it up a couple, 2 to 3 episodes with Seeking Sister Wives. So I think we got a couple more people on our roster here. But we got a lot to talk about, you guys. And also with regard to how I format the show, it's always changing, ever evolving based on who's boring and who isn't. So we start off with the boring people, get them out of the way, and we move on to the real stars of the show, which I, you know, star is a loose term over here in Seeking Sister Wife. We'll put it that way. So with that being said, let's get on with the show. I think we're going to start with Nyla and Naeem. I'm going to butcher their last name. Salahuddin, I believe. Family. From East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. If I got that wrong, trust and believe, by next episode I'll have it right. I'm sorry in advance, but I do think it might be Salahuddin. Okay. So they've been married for 15 years, right? Do I need to break down Seeking Sister Wife? It's Sister Wives without the religious bent in it. I mean, there have been a couple in the past seasons that have used, like, you know, they're Mormon or they're, like, you know, deeply religious Christian backgrounds as a reason for polygamy. It usually doesn't happen, except Nyla and Naeem are Muslim. They practice Islam. They say that polygamy is a part of the faith, and so this is what they're going to be practicing. So, like I said, they've been married for 15 years. They're both practicing Islam. They still fast during Ramadan. They pray. Like I said, polygamy is part of their religion, but they did not come into the lifestyle until pretty recently. So they're like, you know, the lifestyle was there available to us, but we did not utilize it until just recently, right? So Nala says that in Islam, the belief is that every woman deserves a husband, but there might not be enough husbands to fulfill that need. So if there's like a wife who has a family or something happens, and they're just very big on family. So just, you know, like, Red Rover, come over here, girl. I'll be your husband, right? They're looking. They don't require that the woman, their future wife, be Islamic. Muslim? I'm tired, okay? They don't require that. However, they're like, well, we do want her to be spiritual in some regard. And, like, she doesn't have to be beautiful on the outside, but she does have to be beautiful on the inside. This is Nyla saying this. But Naeem's got a nasty little spirit, okay? Maybe I should just be calling him Nasty. Jack Nasty. He's got such an attitude. Like, honestly, he's a little B-I-T-C-H, okay? It's like, why are we always snapping? So he gets an attitude at Nyla saying that they want their future wife to be beautiful on the inside. She doesn't necessarily have to be physically attractive. Oh, well, I don't know why you're just going to tell me what she's got to be. Calm down, little man. At one point, they're in the kitchen unpacking groceries, and he looks at her and he goes, you look cute. Wrinkled, but cute. Damn. Like, can I just get one compliment? Does it have to be like a knife? A knife to the side? My God. So a producer asks Naeem in a confessional, whose idea was it to start practicing the plural lifestyle? And Nyla raises her hand like, nope, it was her. It was actually her. She says their monogamous relationship was great, right? But she noticed something about Naeem, which is that he thrives on love and support. So the more she gives him that love and support, the greater a man he becomes. So she's thinking like, okay, well, if I'm doing such a good job, maybe he could be an even better man with another chick also playing defense, which feels like, I don't know. I just feel like if you have to recruit multiple people to make one person good, maybe we need to unpack that little book, you know? Maybe we need to look about it at that way. I granted I am a pessimist, but I'm also a realist. I just feel like you're saying it takes so much work for me to make this man good. I gotta call in reinforcements. That's what's hitting my eardrum. Is it hitting yours that way? Because that's what I heard. Okay. Anyway, so then she goes on to say that, like, you know, it was all about Naeem at first, the seeking process, but Nyla also wants a house full of people, kids, wives, a whole little support team, right? They're currently dating a woman named Keisha from Georgia. And as someone who grew up in Georgia, I thought, oh no, this is going to be a problem, girl. And, like, not to be judgmental, they usually show us, like, these, like, typically sexy photos of the wife that they're, or the woman that they're seeking or dating, whatever. And, like, her pictures just weren't giving. I'm like, I'm sorry, I know this is not America's Next Top Model. I'm no Naomi Campbell. Lord knows. But, I'm like, thank God, but also, uh-oh. Her pictures just weren't giving. Like, in one, she was in, like, a vegan leather, we'll say. I don't think it was real leather. Bustier. But she was doing the, like, sexy, I'm laying on my back and, like, giving you a little look at the camera vibe. So, like, really, we got to push those titties up, girl. Like, if we're going to be wearing the bustier and you're laying down, you got to push them up. Hike them up so that we can see them. Now they're swimming around in those little pleather cups. That's not a good look, girl. And then the other picture, she was, like, blatantly in a handicapped accessible bathroom. It's like, girl... Did you flush? Like, what about that bathroom, that handicap accessible bathroom, wheelchair accessible bathroom made you think, let me just take a selfie real quick. The lighting's good, bitch. The lighting, the overhead lighting in those types of bathrooms are never good enough for a selfie. And, like, also, I'm thinking, okay, are you holding up, is there a line out? Are you at the club? Are we at Subway? Are we in the Target bathroom? Like, where are you, girl? Are you on your break? Did you do a little quick change? Like, what's happening? I was worried, but they're not, so I'm just going to let them have that, right? Naeem says, Keisha seems like a very interesting, down-to-earth chick. Unlike most of these situations that we typically see, they are all around the same age, right? But they have not met Keisha in person, but it seems like she is going to be coming up soon. So in order to, like, prepare for that, Naeem's mom, whose name is Jamila, is coming to visit. They're going to be breaking the news that we're dating somebody. We're going to be meeting her soon. I think Jamila might be meeting Keisha all during the same meeting, right? So Naeem is kind of a weird mix of mama's boy / nasty spirit, right? They're like making their little watermelon juice. And he's like, oh, I'm not worried about my mom. Like, I don't care. I don't care what she says. I don't care about her opinion. But then he's like, saying Godzilla's coming in reference to her coming over to the house. So Nayla says, oh, girl, this is going to be a hot mess on a cool day. So they sit down for dinner and they ask Naeem's mom how she feels because she kind of knows, but they haven't really gotten into it. So they're like, okay, how do you feel about us seeking, right? And she's like, well, listen, not for me. Okay. I don't like sharing. I'm very picky and it's just very like germy. To me. So they're like, oh, what do you mean by that, mom? Whoa, come on, Jamila. She's like, well, when you share, everybody's got germs. She's like, you know, that it is what it is. So Naeem's like, we're gonna get tested, okay? Before we even do that. We're definitely gonna be tested. Chill out. You don't think we're gonna do that? And then Nyla starts talking about pH balance. And I have heard this pH balance conversation come up many a time, but the interesting thing is this only ever comes up with the black couples on this show, not the white ones. And it's also the woo-woo ones too, because they were making a lot of fresh juices and I saw a lot of vegetables coming from that grocery sack. Something about them is giving very, like, you know, a fake spiritual... Just like that other couple from the first few seasons, and we all know what happened to them, right? So, I'm just feeling like with the pH balance is not a cure-all, okay? Like, I understand you guys feel like you don't want to be, like, getting UTIs all the time. I get that. By the way, every week... I was really trying to downplay this because I do think it's, like, kind of embarrassing, but also I live for this podcast. Bridget and Holly from Girls Next Door, they have a podcast called Girls Next Level, where they're recapping the show, but then they get into like a lot of behind the scenes. You know, they don't fuck with Kendra, and so there's like a lot of issues with that, and they spill a lot of tea about Hef. But a few weeks ago, okay, I should preface, the podcast is not good, but also it is so fascinating because their dynamic is so interesting. Like, we know now that Hef is dead, that there was like, you know, like Holly was like, our relationship was fucked up, you know, I felt taken advantage of, etc. Right. So Holly has these very, like, she comes from a place of being very looking at the episodes and be like, oh, do you think that the editors were trying to manipulate us in this way, in this scene? Or do you think this? Anyway, a couple weeks ago, Holly was talking about, and also like their memory and like what they want to remember from that time in the mansion is very different. Like, Holly is very realistic about it, and Bridget is very not very rose-colored glasses. And here's a perfect example. So Holly was talking about, because, you know, they had to have sex all the time, group sex, like multiple times a week with this man, right? Having sex with women, probably not one of them, those women, were actually bisexual. They're just performing sex for Hef's old ass dick, right? But Holly talks about how his lube of choice, because he was like, you know, some dude from the fucking 50s, was baby oil. This isn't funny. But she says that during her time in the mansion, she would get UTIs all the time. And she thinks that it was because he was using that baby oil. And then how she's like not had one since she left the mansion. And then Bridget's like, yeah, I totally get what you mean. And then she tells a story about how she would get migraines in the mansion. But it wasn't like because of the mansion. It was, she was getting them prior to her moving in. She simply forgot that there was migraine medication that she used to take to help them and just stopped taking it. And so she would just suffer through migraines. Well, she lived there for fucking years. Like, you just forgot about the medication. And also, that's not comparable. You forgetting about a medication is not the same as Holly getting UTI after UTI because of that disgusting man's penis and the Johnsons that he put inside of her. Like, you see what, like, their memories are so different, you know? Like, Bridget does not want to accept that that time was bad. She does not want to accept it. And so that's why I'm saying, like, that podcast is, like, really bad. But you really, like, if you dig deep in the context and really hear what they're saying, it's, like, actually incredible. But I say all this to say, like, isn't pH balance kind of, like, a tentative thing? Like, you could be one way and one day and the other another, like, you know? So I don't really think that's like the Bible that we need to be leaning on with regard to not getting whatever the hell. But anyway, back to these two people, right? So his mom's like, listen, no, actually, Naeem says in a confessional, the fact that my mom's bringing up germs is just like, this is like a statement that people just aren't open to anything in life. And that's ignorant to say that. No, it's not. People have germs. You will spread them. Hello? COVID. That's how it works, Naeem. Sorry to break it to you. So then Nyla brings up the fact that, hey, Mom, or Jamila, this is a part of Islam. We all practice it. And Jamila's like, yeah, I know that, but I don't like it. Okay? And then Jamila says in a confessional, listen, I love my son dearly, but this is a bit much, okay? And then Naeem kind of throws his own wife, Nyla, under the bus by saying, well, it was her idea. She's the one who wanted to do this. And so Jamila's like kind of taken aback and is like, huh, what made you bring this up? Like, was it that you weren't enough or... And so Nyla has to be like, no, it wasn't because I'm not enough. But Naeem thrives on support. And her bullshit thing. Oh, you know, I give him all this love and with the extra support from, like, somebody else and the positive affirmations, what kind of blossom could bloom from Naeem, right? And Jamila says, girl, you can get some books, put some signs on the wall if he needs to be motivated. Now, mind you, this is her talking about her own flesh and blood son. if my son needs to be motivated, girl, put up a cat poster that says, hang in there, baby, and keep it pushing. So then Naylor really jumps out the window and is like, oh, well, you know the quote, behind every great man, there's a great woman. Well, how great would he be if there were more than one woman behind him? And Jamila says, well, I think he needs therapy, okay? If he's lacking that much, then he needs therapy. And he goes, I do need therapy, but not for this. And so then he says, I see the benefit in plural marriage. And she goes, of course you do. And then Naeem really starts getting an attitude like, you never listen to anything. You just talk, 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 talk. You never listen. And his mom goes, okay, well, educate me then. You want me to listen, then educate me. And he goes, are you going to let me finish my statement? Bitch, the way I could never speak to my mother this way, are you going to let me finish my statement? All you do is talk. I'm scared my mom's going to come in and whip my ass for even just saying this in a hypothetical situation. You know? And that's not even physically possible. We got to move on to our next couple. Oh, God. Who do we got to go to now? I think we're going to go to our next new couple. Or should we mix it up? Should we go old, new? Let's go to an old couple. No, I'm actually going to go to a new couple. Sorry, y'all. I'm going to go to, who are we talking about here? Ashley and Shane. Why? The Sherwood family from Wayland, Massachusetts. So, this is going to be a hot take, okay? I'm going to say that here's my first red flag with Ashley and Shane, is that they said that they were a pandemic couple, okay? And I would just say, hear me out, that, like, I feel like those of you who are in successful pandemic relationships understand what I'm saying. Like, you guys are reasonable enough to know that, like, there are a lot of couples that are making y'all look bad. If you guys are in a successful couple, I think you're confident enough to know that and to recognize what I'm saying as a truth, an inherent truth, if you will. So, like, I mean no offense. You know I'm not talking about you if you're happy, okay? So let's just move on, right? And God bless you. So then, with that being said, these two are a pandemic relationship, and it's not good, okay? They've been together since 2021. They married in 2022. They're not giving full-blown dumpster fire at this point, but there is, like, a trash can that my eyes are moving towards, and I'm also starting to smell an ember. You know, a little puff of smoke. I'm like, does that smell like smoke? Something's happening here, I think, right? They're thinking about adding another partner, but this has been, like, they've been married 2 years, together for 3. They've been thinking about opening up their relationship for 2.5 of the, like, 3 years that they've been they've been married 2 years, they've been thinking about opening their relationship up for 2.5 years, okay? It's a little confusing. So they come from the perspective, Ashley and Shane, that monogamy is a fallacy, right? And that it's basically ridiculous to expect one person to fulfill all your needs. So you would think that these two would be, like, the most boring people ever. And they probably still are, honestly. But they do have a wild side. And by that, I mean that they met through the love of competition axe throwing. I know what that is, but I don't want to know, you know? They met through social media, through, like, the competitive axe throwing forums. Is it Reddit? I don't know. They met through social media. They made plans to meet up at a tournament. And then Shane looks over at Ashley in this confessional. He's like, tell him what I said to you for the first time we met. And she goes, he said, you're so much hotter in real life. And he goes, and she was. And she was. And I guess we're supposed to be like, aw. That was the emotion that they wanted me to feel. Do you want to guess if I did? No.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So they meet 6 months later. Like, their relationship is like super fast, right? So when we meet them, Ashley's pregnant with her second child with Shane. And she says, we're just looking for somebody to be like an additional mother and just kind of a support to the thing that we've already got going, right? That's what I heard. And Shane says, they don't even have to be driven. They don't have to have a career or anything or passions. They do have to have some kind of goals. So what I'm hearing is that Ashley needs a nanny and Shane needs you to be breathing. That's basically it. Just be alive. And smile sometimes. Okay. So at first they present this as though like Ashley is kind of the Mary from Sister Wives of their family. Like, if you guys don't know, Mary was the one who kind of recruited the girls. She was like, oh, Cody, I like this one. I think she might be a good fit for her family. Why don't you meet her? Right. So I'm thinking that's the vibe with Ashley at first. Right. Because she says, she uses the term like I date, but this is been a term that the women have used before as just a term of like, I'm scoping them out and then I bring them to my husband, right? She says, I like to scope out the scene with the women. I don't want to waste Shane's time. So like, I've been dating this woman named Grace for the past month. So they actually knew Grace before. She was the makeup artist for their wedding. And when they show the picture of Grace, my first thought was eyebrows. My second thought was that her eyebrows were like a burnt sienna. You remember that crayon? And then I thought, I'm sorry, you hired her to be your makeup artist. And then I looked at Ashley's eyebrows and I thought, well, I don't really think. It's kind of like the blind leading the blind. No offense. So she says that she was her makeup artist for the wedding, right? And then they just ended, you know, business as usual, professional. She didn't talk to her again. However, Ashley goes on a dating site. She swipes in and they're like, oh, here's Grace. And they're a match, right? So now they've been going on like 5 or 6 dates, right? Grace is down. We met here. They go on a bowling date. Grace tells us in a confessional, I'm down for whatever the fuck, okay? I've never done polygamy, but I'm open to it. Cool. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care if she's pregnant. It's just a fact of life. She's not like a pariah. I don't care if I'm dating a pregnant bitch, okay? So they're like going on their date. It's like fine, I guess. Ashley says that her relationship with Grace is like very intellectual, very cerebral. This is what she's been telling Shane. Shane's really been like, I want to meet her. I want to meet her, right? So they're on this date and it seems like Ashley maybe gets to go out for like 35 minutes before Shane is calling her being like, please relieve me of my parenting duties. I've been watching this child, our child, all day. Like, what did you do, sir? I know exactly what this man did. He gave her a little cup of puffs, turned on Miss Rachel and was texting. And then the baby's diaper got wet and she started getting fussy, or he, I don't know. Let me not misgender your child. And he was like, oh, I can't handle this. I know this. I look at Shane's dopey little eyes and I know that's exactly what happened. So after that, we get a first, because when Ashley and Grace say goodbye to each other, they kiss on the lips. And then Ashley says in a confessional, "We're not like your typical plural family, because Ashley's bisexual." And then she says, "I'm basically just looking for myself." And Shane is like, "Hold on a second." And then she laughs. And honestly, I'm not sure if that's a joke or not, because it was giving, like, she pretty much is just looking for herself. But I guess we'll see. Watch what happens. So after that, they explain why they want a kid, right? Or another wife, right? Ashley, I felt like, said something pretty revealing in a confessional, which is that, actually, Shane says this, that I feel like it's good having a plural relationship because I just don't really have, basically, he says he doesn't have any friends he can, like, talk to about Ashley, so it would be nice to have another sounding board in case he gets in trouble, to be like, "Hey, he's not that bad. Like, he's really sorry. If you could smooth things over with them." Like, is this your dream? Is that she's just like your referee and your child care? She doesn't even have to have goals. Like, I don't know. Maybe we need to go back to the drawing board on this one. Then Ashley gets home and Shane is like, he wants to know all the tea, and not like in a way, like he's fishing. This is not like, "Oh, you just got back from your date, I'm excited, tell me about it." This is like, "What'd you guys do? Did you kiss? Did you look in her eye real close? Did she wink at you? Did you guys hold hands? Do you like her?" Like, he does not. He is really like trying to keep it together, but I'm seeing right through it. So, you guys get more flirty today? No. Ashley says in a confessional that because her family is so religious and conservative, her experience as a bisexual woman has only been going on for like a couple years. It's very limited. She realized she was bisexual, or she like was comfortable coming, whatever she said, I don't know. She came out and to like 2 years ago, but did not act on that physically until like quite recently, it sounds like, right? And then she says that like the 2 years of trying to figure it out before she got physical was really because she was trying to figure out what her relationship with Shane would look like and what that meant for their relationship, right? So Shane does admit, you know, if Ashley starts pursuing another relationship like fully, I probably would feel envious or jealous, but you know, but that's something we're going to have to worry about later. Have you guys watched this show? Have you watched this show? That's not the part you want to set it and forget it. Sorry, but thank you, because this is going to make great television. So Shane's still like, "Ashley, are you attracted to Grace? And like how much? Like on a scale of 1 to 10. And Ashley's like, "Well, she's gorgeous. Like, she's beautiful, but I just don't know if I'm attracted to her yet. Did you kiss her? I kissed her. How'd you kiss her? Was it like a peck or like what?" She's like, "Yeah, it's just like a little one." "Like, how many seconds, Ashley?" "I don't know, Shane." So it turns out that a reason why Shane is maybe a little bit insecure about this whole situation is that this was not his first time at the rejection rodeo, okay, where he was dating a woman who eventually left him for another woman, which he thought was all because of him. He's scared it might happen again. But he also is coming from a place of, like, I don't want Ashley to go through her life not exploring that part of her bisexuality, right? So Ashley says, you know, "Listen, Grace is attractive. I do, like, find her attractive on a surface level. I'm not physically or sexually attracted to her, and I'm not sure if that's just because I'm not, or if it's because Grace and Shane haven't met, and so I kind of feel like I'm living two separate lives, and like I'm not allowed that feeling, that emotion." So I would say, somebody taught me this a long time ago, like having a conversation about whether whatever guy I was talking about was hot, and I was like really thinking about it, and they said to me, like, if you really have to think about it that much, you probably just aren't. Because, you know, attraction is just, like, a very quick thing. And I know, like, it can grow. attraction can grow, but like usually if you're really having to think about, do I find this person attractive? Then you probably don't, you know, and maybe you should just keep it pushing. Anyway, let's keep it pushing to the next couple. Ooh, we're back with one of our crown jewels, Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips, a.k.a. the Davis family from Aurora, Colorado, comprised of April, Nick, Danielle, and Jennifer, the most generic names you could possibly think of, which is only part of the reason why I call them Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips. And I think you could just read between the lines as to why the rest of that reason. Anyway, so April's the first wife. Let's just break it down. April's our first wife. Jennifer's the one he had a kid with. Danielle's the child bride slash the third wife, right? She's 24. Of course, our first scene of them back is them going to the toy stores so that Nick and his literal infant child can each pick out a toy for themselves. And I'm not kidding. He was like, I'm going to get one too. Slick Nick tells us in a confessional that his affinity for a plural lifestyle started with him watching Three's Company, which really, like, dates you, sir. And we can tell that he's more of maybe like a Chrissy fan than the other one, because all of his wives have now adopted this signature Suzanne Summers blonde. They used to be like something in a dishwater blonde to like a last minute Clairol Blox blonde, but now they're all the exact same blonde, and it's unsettling. Nick says it actually never occurred to him that he was watching Three's Company that those women weren't Jack. Is that his name? Jack's wives? He just thought that they were like a bunch of women around that cared about him, which is the story. They weren't married to him. You're the one who's taken this too far. He's like, this guy just seemed like it was a great way to live your life. And I'm like, yeah, having friends, not marrying all of them, or not marrying all of them. You know, the way that this man has navigated his life, like, I clown him, and yet he's got the master key. He's living his life exactly as he wants to do. Well, first time we met them, last season, he was telling us, April and Jennifer, work. And I just sit home, and I think, and I read. And then they get home, and maybe they cook or something, and I tell them what I learned. A fucked up book report that I have for adults that I've schemed my way into that I don't have to have a job. This man, this might be the, this is, it's not February anymore. Is this reverse racism? Is this our first example of actual reverse racism? How did this black man get three white women to work and carry his lifestyle? How did he do that? I ain't never seen shit like this in my life. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm excited. I want to see more. I'm just like, what's going on? I'm not saying you know what I mean? Like, y'all haven't seen shit like this either, okay? I'm not the only one. So Danielle, the child bride, says, as much as I love Nick, the plural lifestyle provides a relationship with the other women, and they get me in ways that Nick never could, right? So they're all equally parenting Vera, who's like maybe about one. They say Vera calls them all mom, but again, I don't even think she's quite 1 year old yet. So like whatever, she's probably just calling everybody mama, whatever. God bless, it's so special. Three mothers, okay? Like I said, as we know, Nick's job prior to Vera's birth was to sit at home and read books. So I will say, like, I can't even front him. Like, now he's at least a stay-at-home dad. Like, he's doing something else, okay? Nick says that as far as him not having a job, the other women seem to prefer that his time be spent in the activities that he finds most enriching. And frankly, they have enough people dedicated to earning wages or whatever you guys do when you leave the house that they need more people at the home thinking and feeling and trying to really understand what this whole life experience is about. So you heard it here first. blonde women of Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, or wherever the fuck they live, Aurora, Colorado, excuse me, in the greater metropolitan area. If you're interested in working a full-time job, making the bacon, you come home to this chocolate bald man and tell you how to think and feel, you don't have to worry about that. Pretty lady, little mama, don't worry, don't feel. I got you, girl. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do any pesky things, little thinking. Not when you're home. Hell, you don't even get to experience life. That's the benefit of being married to Slick Nick. Or actually, sorry, you're not married to Nick, because Nick has also managed to convince these women, who I don't think are romantically attracted to women, to marry each other. So Jennifer and the other one, April, are legally married. And so now Danielle's really the outlier, because Nick's not going to be marrying you, sis. So just so you know, like, we're going to have to find a fourth, maybe a fifth wife. You can marry number four or five, whoever you pick, right? Nick thinks that if they just marry each other, that's like their true commitment to the relationship. That's how they can prove it. And so really, that's like fair to them, according to Nick. Danielle is a big holdout in terms of expanding the family. You would think that maybe she would know that she had to be on board with this a little bit more, because she is the third woman coming into the situation. So maybe it wouldn't really be that shocking to you that they wanted to add some more to the coterie, if you will. She doesn't want to do that. She's like, listen, you guys, slow down. I just got here 2 years ago. I came from a monogamous background. This is already a real big adjustment for me. So, like, introducing somebody else into this is something that I'm working on, right? Looking at her face, it didn't seem like she was working that hard. But also, girl, you got a lot to do outside of the home. And Nick said, don't worry about thinking. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's just not occurring to you because you're not thinking about it. Because you don't have to. Anyway, we find out that since we last left them, there have been a lot of changes. Baby. House that's twice as big. 12-foot-long bed that takes all four of them. All four, we gotta hit a corner. Their bed sheets are like the little thing that we used to play with in elementary school. Little parachutes. You'll put our little butts under and be like, oh my god, look at it. So that's how big their bed sheets are. Their fitted sheet is as big as the elementary school parachutes. Dead ass. Nick said that when they had it delivered, the delivery person said that the only other person who had gotten a bag this big was one member of the Denver Nuggets. It is a 12-foot long bed. I hate it. They explained, like, and obviously this is not like one to the bed and the other one said felt roll over is not what most polygamous couples do, but they wanted the big bed so they wouldn't have to worry about dividing up time as much that way, right? But they also have a different room specifically for that, called the boom boom room. But don't tell Danielle, because she's like, I don't want to call it that, okay? Just because I'm in there doesn't mean that's the name of the room. We'll call it the intimate room. In terms of intimacy, Nick, he's got his book out. He's like fucking Miss Frizzle over here. It's like space, right? He's the sun, naturally. And they're all just the planets kind of orbiting around at their own little distance. They don't receive the same amount of sunlight, but they all receive what they need in order to remain in orbit. So again, ladies, you don't need to think. You don't need to feel. You do need to have a job and probably a 401k. And just like minimum attention and some dick for you to stay in this whole situation, right? And then they pull back the camera to show all the wives' reactions to Nick saying this, and I swear they all blinked at the same time. It was incredible. So let me get back to them, like, adding more wives. And Danielle, they're, like, frankenbiting the shit out of her. They keep showing everybody else's faces as she's talking like this. Clearly, she's recording this in the studio after the fact. But we have to make it seem like she's saying this in the confessional. Do you hear? Like, it sounds like I'm reading? Yeah, that's exactly what she's, like, listen to it back. It's like, girl, she was not saying that. So anyway, she's like, listen, I know that it was always a plan. I just got married. We just had Vera. I don't know why we need to rush into dating so soon. I want to enjoy being a wife and a mother right now. Like, and I'm just nervous about opening things up. So this actually seems like it's going to be more of an issue based on the side eyes that I was peeping between Danielle and April, the first bitch. Sorry. The first wife. I'm sorry, April. The first wife. And it seems like that's going to be an issue between the two of them specifically. And I'm looking forward to it because April seemed like pretty easy breezy in a way that I'm like, I don't know if you're like that laissez-faire. You know what I mean? And I'm excited to see what April's got up her bell sleeves, because Lord knows she's good for a bell sleeve. Of course, you guys, we have to end with Danielle and Garrick, a.k.a. Joel Osteen. Just look at a side-by-side picture. Tell me what you see. And Danielle. Now, I had been pretty easy on Danielle because, let's face it, Danielle is like such a dumpy little diaper of a woman. You know what I mean? It's just like a wet diaper, unpleasant. And it's not her fault, you know? Garrick's doing the dumping in the diaper. She's just having to hold all the shit. You know what I mean? And the wet and the shit. Okay. So I feel for her. And so I had been mostly outside of large wife, because Garrick gave her that name. And I was truly horrified and shocked. Outside of occasionally calling her large wife, I had mostly been calling her by her Christian name of Danielle. However, now that we're in season 5, girl, I like can't give you too much empathy. Because it feels like, you know, don't save her, she don't want to be saved, okay? So now we're going to give her a nickname, and it's Slackjaw, okay? So Slackjaw says in a confessional that they've been practicing polygamy for about 5 years, she and Garrick. And the way you can actively see the glint go out in her eyes when she says this is truly remarkable. Slackjaw says, I think polygamy is something different to everybody. Like, if you ask them, they'd all say something different. Garrick is still on the sister thing from Roberta. You know, they're sisters. They're sister wives. They're best friends. And, you know, that just doesn't happen in a monogamous relationship. You don't get that. They were monogamous. They're like high school sweethearts, right? Or college sweethearts. I don't remember. But in the beginning of their relationship, they were like, you know, they're still religious. Garrick's good for this, like, horny religion, which, you know, we're going to have to get into in like 3 seconds, but I'm just talking about his Instagram at this point. He is good for posting the longest Bible verse filled captions, and then his areolas are out and his little nipples are so hard and aggressive. Garrick, what does this have to do with the Lord? What is your left nipple have to do with you talking about walking by faith and not by sight? Answer that quickly, Garrick. Why are your titties always out when you're talking about Jesus? It does not make sense. That's another argument for another day. That being said, they, like, you know, they were high school sweethearts and quite religious. And Garrick says, you know, because of the way we were raised, we just thought the idea of a polygamous relationship is like wrong and evil, right? And then this man gets his back all straight to give us some learning. Okay, so are you guys ready? Because you're really going to want to listen to this if you didn't hear or see what this man said. The Joel Osteen really jumped out with this one. Okay, so he tells us, dear congregants, that he was doing a lot of searching after thinking that this was evil and wrong. They were searching the scriptures, for years. And by they were searching for scriptures, I mean, it was very clear that Garrick Dolosine and Garrick Dolosine only was just combing and combing and combing and combing every little inch of the internet, trying to find any justification for him to sleep with as many Brazilian women as he can. Okay, like, let's just be real here. He tells us a lot of scriptures, such as like the one of like, you know, oh, he fills you with the Holy Ghost is actually a sexual term, right? And then if you look over at Slackjaw, the jaw is slacking, and that's why I gave her the name, okay? It's slacking more than it usually does. Garrick says that to be filled with the Holy Ghost means sperm. He says it means sperm going into, like, intimacy that way. I want to die. It means sperm going into, like, intimacy that way. Scientifically, they found that when men and women become one, and the sperm goes into a woman, the DNA becomes part of her and it goes into her brain and she becomes one with him. But yet the DNA can't transfer from a woman to a man. So that shows proof of like how Christ is with his church. He transfers to us. We don't transfer to him. So it's a beautiful thing. Garrick, what the fuck are you talking about? Garrick, what are you talking about? Garrick, what are you talking about? One more time. Garrick, what are you talking about? Let's just like go down the list of wrong. As far as the Holy Ghost stuff, we'll just talk about that. And the Holy Ghost equals sperm. Okay. I typed in to be filled with the Holy Ghost meaning. I did many iterations of this. I am a good Googler. I am a child of the internet. I know what to look for when I need to look for something. Couldn't find anything. Pages, pages, pages. Bible interpretation websites. King James interpretation. What does this mean? Websites that are saying, here are like a whole list of different interpretations of different scriptures of the Bible according to different people. Nan, one of them, said anything about sperm until I typed in Holy Ghost sperm. And you know what? It was like the Pennsylvania Church of God and some article about T.D. Jakes. And I'm going to tell you guys in the research that I found in those two sources, okay? I like can't believe they're even saying this stuff. I really can't. It seems like any interpretation of like this meaning semen. Again, a couple people have chosen out of the millions to interpret this as a semen seminal situation. But even they say that it's a spiritual semen, not like a literal one. Like, even then, it's not actually coming. Like, it's still like a come of the mind, if that makes sense. Now, as far as the DNA transfer, that was much easier to find. Shout out to Reuters, trusted source, fact check article that just came from January of earlier this year, okay? Debunking this wholeheartedly. It says a 2012 study did not find that women, quote, store men's DNA after sexual intercourse, as suggested by an old headline, which recently resurfaced online from a defunct website that repeatedly published misinformation. Both the 2012 study cited in the 2018 article and another study from 2005 by one of the same authors speculated about the possibility yet to be explored that male DNA found in a woman's bloodstream, a phenomenon known as microchimerism, I think, could partly be due to intercourse among other already known sources. Thus, it is erroneous and misleading to state that intercourse leads to this microchimerism. I'm probably not pronouncing that right.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk?
Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
But this is what was quoted. So this headline circulated via Facebook, a Facebook post, with the headline that says, "Women store DNA from every man they've ever made love with, study finds." This is from May 20th of 2018. An article from the website Neon Nettle, a publication that no longer exists, but which previously published false reports. Also, let's just like put all of this together. Why would the semen, Holy Ghost, or any of what you other said have to do with, what does the semen have to do with you having multiple wives? That's my question. So anyway, for those of you who have not seen the show, they were brought on initially courting a woman named Roberta. They met her back in 2018. Roberta lives in Brazil, so because of that, they were like really going to go through the process of bringing her into the country and making her a legal citizen. But in order to do that, they had to do some like kind of like 90-day fiancé shit. So they actually terminated, got a legal divorce so that Bert could enter the country, marry Joel Osteen, and then be a legal citizen, and they could all live happily ever after, right? So, finally, I'm trying to think, has this woman really been dedicated to this drip of a man this entire time? Apparently not, because Slackjaw tells us that after they got the legal divorce, I mean, they had obviously planned on being together and just adding Burton to the mix, but there were some times where they truly did actually break up. He was able to wrangle her somehow. I would love to know. Joel says, looking back, the relationship with Berta, there was definitely some red flags that came up. Like, apparently Roberta had told Slackjaw one time that, "I hope it's just us two as sister wives." And at first I was thinking, like without Garrett? Because, like, me too, girl. I would hope that for you, too. You guys would be much happier. But what she meant was she didn't want another wife. Just two, okay? So they did try dating this woman a couple seasons ago. It was a total flop. Like, there was zero chemistry between any of them. Like, kind of between Slackjaw and the lady, but none between the lady and Joel Osteen. I don't even remember this chick's name, and we didn't need to because it was such a fake storyline, like truly, truly. So the last trip that they all took, did they meet up in Mexico? I think they did on their last trip. Or no, they were in Brazil, and they were, Joel and Slackjaw, having some real like nerves about, they were thinking, I don't know, something about this is feeling like Roberta doesn't really want to come to America because we've been trying to get her up here for quite some time. She's got the ticket and things come up. Oh, I have to take my mom. Like, she was saying her mom had a bunch of health issues and that she wanted to take her to all these appointments before she left for America and not leave her mom high and dry. But they was like, oh, I got to take her to a doctor's appointment. Like, nothing big, right? She didn't end up coming. The last season, Garrick is like so diabolical, but also he just feels so stupid that I think that might be why he gets away with it. He just looks so dumb. But to watch this scene, clearly of Garrick filming his wife, finding out that Roberta was not going to be coming to start a new life in America with them. And she's like, she was my sister. I don't understand. My sister. Like, she was so upset. Comfort your wife, you fucking psycho, instead of just recording her having a mental breakdown. Like, it was so weird. But also really funny. They have not spoken to Roberta since she decided not to come to America, right? Joel admits in a confessional, he went into a full depression. Because if y'all did not watch that, he was down bad for Roberta. Like, in a way that it's like, get yourself together, sir. And what's really funny is that his pastor apparently told him just that. Stop crying over spilled milk and Roberta and move on, Garrick. I didn't even know pastors could do that. Tell you to get over something? Your pastor told you stop crying over spilled milk? Is that even allowed? Dog, you must have been really annoying the shit out of him for him to tell you that. Get over it. So we watch them go through these boxes of things that they had gotten for Roberta in celebration of her coming to America. Like all these American flags that they got from Amazon and some Brazilian flags. Slackjaw's daddy went down to the CVS. I don't know. Where do you guys get those pillows? You just order them online? Can you order them from like CVS and be like, here's a picture. Send me a pillow with the picture. It had a picture of Garrick and Danielle and Bert on it that he was going to give her. It was actually pretty sweet. Tacky, but sweet. So they're like packing the stuff up. Like, I guess we don't need that anymore. Girl, to the surprise of absolutely nobody, Slackjaw tells us that Joel wanted to start dating somebody immediately after the breakup with Bert, but she was the one who wanted to take some time. Also not surprising, Garrick did what he wanted anyway, even though she said, hey, maybe we can take some time to, like, breathe. Garrick just took the wheel, and Garrick and his Holy Ghost, his Holy Roller, his Holy Ghost is the only person steering the ship here, you know? And so he started dating immediately after the breakup, and so now they're dating a girl named Natalia. She's 26 years old. They've been talking to her for 4 months. It's been serious for about 2 months or so. So Joel and Slackjaw have parents, which are, I don't mean like actual parents. I mean, Slackjaw has a brother named Sam and a sister-in-law named Samantha. They're the only people who seem to be like, what the hell are you guys doing? What the shit is going on here? So now they're like nervous to tell Sam and Samantha, hey guys, we're dating somebody else. So Joel Osteen has a construction company, right? And Sam works for him. Like, it seems like a family business. Like, everybody kind of helps out, right? So they go onto this site where they had built a house, and Samantha and Slackjaw are doing the gardening, and Joel Osteen and Sam are talking man stuff, and we see both of them slowly tell Sam and Samantha, we're dating somebody new. And you could describe their reactions as somewhere in the spectrum of, are you fucking kidding me? And why? Really? Again? So Samantha goes, where's she from? And Slackjaw's like, well, actually, she's from Brazil. And Samantha just starts laughing. He goes, are you kidding me? Sam's reaction, the smile left his face, and we're going to end this episode with Sam saying, Garrick is out of his mind, and I'm just worried that this whole thing is just history repeating itself. It is, babe. Samuel, I can tell you right now, it absolutely is. And thank God for it. Welcome to season 5 of Seeking Sister Wife, and I hope you join me on this journey of mess. It is going to be such a disaster. Tell your friends to check me out and subscribe. Thank you guys. Love you. Bye. Hey guys, I just want to issue a trigger warning for suicide and self-harm. That's what I'm going to be talking about for the rest of the episode. So if that's a trigger for you, I completely understand. This would be the time to turn off, and I love you, and I'll catch you later. But it is March 5th, and this afternoon, it was just like horrible, horrible news to find out that Garrison Brown, son of Janelle and Cody Brown of Sister Wives, he committed suicide. He shot himself earlier today. And, you know, there's, you know, like, obviously it's really, I don't know what to do or say at this point, because in my career, or whatever you want to call it, of talking about people in reality TV, people in pop culture, there have been deaths, there have been tragic deaths, but there's never been a situation where somebody or somebody from a family that I've spoken about extensively on this podcast has passed away, and in such a tragic way. Like, I don't really know what to say. There's nothing that I could say that would, like, truly eulogize Garrison in the way that he deserves. But suffice to say, like, I just felt like I had to say something. There's not going to be anywhere in my podcast in which talking about this is going, not going to be like a complete diversion from what I usually talk about. So I just figured I should talk about it now. I'm heartbroken. I'm so, so sad about this. I knew this kid personally. He's a child. He was 25 years old. You know, I just turned 38. I can't imagine, you know, like, I just can't fathom what he must have been going through, what thoughts and feelings led him to feel this way. I wish that nobody would ever have to feel even like a tenth of this sort of pain to, you know, want to feel this way. I you know, I'm sure, like, many of you guys have dealt with suicide, you know, in your family or with people that you love. I've unfortunately had a very similar situation to this in my family. And it's just to, like, it's devastating, you know, it's devastating. And, you know, like, I really don't get too personal about my life, and this truly, like, you know, what I deal with and the sadness that I felt is nothing compared to, like, my family and what they dealt with. But yeah, like, I've had a situation in which somebody shot themselves, and it just kind of hit home for me in a different way, because we were cousins and we were, like, pretty much the same age. And, you know, now, like, sometimes I just think about, I'm still here, you know, and he's not, and, like, what would have happened. And I even feel guilt about, like, does his dad look at me and think about his son? And, like, it just breaks my heart. And so I just, like, to add, if that's, like, so much closer to their home, like, I'm just really, like, upset about this. And it's really, really sad. I feel so sad for Janelle. I feel so sad for Cody. I feel so sad for the whole family. I make a lot of jokes about Cody Brown, and, you know, like, obviously this is not the time. I genuinely, like, I mean this, I'm concerned about Cody. I really am. I don't know, like, nobody is capable of handling this sort of thing. And I kind of feel like Cody might be less capable. And I mean that in the most genuinely, like, sincere way. I really, like, my heart goes out to them. Truly, truly, truly. I can't imagine. And so for all of you who might be feeling upset, or, like, if this has happened to you, just know that, like, I extend all of my condolences and sympathies to all of you, to the Brown family. But yeah, you know, like, I you know, this, like, this, you know, like, to put it very bluntly, I make money off of this family. So to, like, not talk about this would have been, like, a huge misstep on my part. Like, I truly am very, very sad about this. You know, I don't know how we move forward with this, as far as the show goes, but I'm sure that is the last of everybody's thoughts and feelings at this point. But I just want to say, you guys, like, I love you. I'm thinking about all of you. I beg of you, if you feel anything, like, please reach out to the proper channels, to your loved ones, to people who can are invested, because there are people who are invested, okay? The people that you might not even know. We want you here, okay? And so don't be afraid. Never feel like you're burdening anybody or anything like that. Like I said, there are so many mental health professionals and people who are tasked with this sorts of things. You're not a burden to tell people if this is how you're feeling. Trust and believe, like, you're necessary, okay? And you're loved. So with that, you guys, I will talk to you guys later. Again, I love you, and we'll talk soon.